We are short of pianist tonight, so let's turn to hymn number 23. Number 23, and we'll sing as best we can to the glory of God. Number 23, Mortal Invisible. Immortal Invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to is only the splendor of light hideth thee. Thank you. We welcome you, and we're thankful to the Lord for his mercy that brings us into this house, enables us to come and worship him. We want to continue our prayers for Olivia and for Tamara and for Paul and Ree and others that are sick. And we pray that the Lord would help in each situation and others of the Lord's people, wherever they might be tonight and whoever they might be. We are thankful for his grace to them. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask in thy holy and righteous name that you would hear us and that you would help us, that you would have mercy on us in the Lord Jesus Christ as we call upon your name in such weakness, in such sinfulness, in such need as we often are found in. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as we, in this place and wherever this is viewed, be enabled by your Spirit to receive the things of Christ. And we ask that you would help these that we have mentioned and others that are sick and weak and frail. And Lord, those of us who are growing in age and seeing all the declines and all the things that accompany that aging process, we pray that we might know your strength and that we might be lifted up and that we might be carried all our days that you have appointed on this earth in thy strength and not our own. We thank you so much for your blessing to us and those blessings that we received as your gift before the world began, as you chose us in Christ Jesus and made us to be all that we are and would be in your sight in him. We thank you and pray that you would forgive us of our sins and that you would help us and cause us to grow even in your grace and mercy in Christ and in the knowledge of him. And we ask tonight, Lord, that you would help us in our weakness, that we might speak right things about you to your people, that we might sound forth a witness to your truth in this world. Lord, we know not what is about to take place in this world or what is going on in the lives of each and every man or woman, but we know that you are the one who works all things after the counsel of your own will. And they will be just as you have purposed. They will be for your glory, and they will be for the good of your people. We know that all that are saved by your grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and according to that purpose of grace that was given in him to them before the world began. We thank you now, and we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to read just a couple of verses that not only make up the life, the experience of this man, the Apostle Paul, but of all of God's elect. Verse 9, he says, "For I am the least." And I do believe that's the way that all God's people consider themselves to be. Put behind it any word that you will. In this case, he uses the apostles. "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." I was sitting in my chair the other night, and as often is the case, while I was had the TV on, I nodded off evidently to sleep. And I don't know how long past, but I was awakened by music. There was the program that I had been watching had gone off, and there was a concert being given by a country music singer now, and so I woke to him singing a song. And it was a song evidently about his self-centered girlfriend who was always talking about herself. And the hook on the song, as they call it, the title of the song, what he was singing was, "Let's talk about me. Let's talk about me." And I got to thinking about that. What could be said about me? What could be said about me and what could be talked or spoken about me as I now know myself in the light of the truth, in the light of the grace of God, in light of what God says in the Scriptures about me. And I remembered what the Bible says about me and about every one of God's believing people, and what they know by not only experience, but what they know more by the Word of God. What does it say about me? What do the Scriptures say that I am? And I thought about it as I was considering from my mind what the Scriptures say about me and about every child of God, that there seems to be four me's. Four me's. And they are the same. They're the same me. And I wanted tonight to let's talk about me. Let's talk about me in the light of the truth, in the light of the Scriptures. And first, I want to say this. Me, to talk about me as the Bible says that I am, and like the Scriptures say that I became in Adam, and what I am as a sinner, and by nature, that's what I am, a sinner. And I sinned in Adam. I was a sinner before I was born. And I was fallen in Adam in the sight of God. I'm a sinner comes forth by nature. The Bible says that I'm born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It says that I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. It says that I'm dead, was dead in trespasses and sin, dead spiritually, born an unbeliever, came into this world in myself as one lost and ungodly and unrighteous and defiled and wretched. And so when I consider all that the Scripture says that I am, and what I now know myself to be by experience and by the revealing work of God's Spirit, that's what I am, and in myself, that's all that I am or could be. If you'll turn back to Romans chapter 3, Paul describes me and every man in this way. Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So if he uses this universal and all-inclusive language in this character that he speaks of here, that has to include me. If you talk about me, you have to talk about a wretch, a sinner, one born dead in trespasses and sin. He says their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have they not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. If you talk about me, you have to say, as Paul says in something that we'll read later, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Everybody always wants somebody, especially the preacher, to say something nice about him. A man one time asked me, just joking, I'm sure, if I would preach his funeral. I said, no, I can't. Because my mama told me if I couldn't say something nice about somebody, not to say anything at all. And if you can't say something nice to me, it's because nothing can be said nice about me. I am the me. First me is this sinner who in himself is without hope, without God, without faith, without anything but sin in this world. The sinner of sinners, as Paul said himself to be. So if you talk about me, like that song said, if you talked about me, that's all you can do. You can't say anything good about me in my flesh. There is no good thing. But then I thought about this. If you talk about me, as God says that I am in Christ, it's another matter. And thank God, by His grace, if you talk about me and a number of other people in this world, because of God's sovereign and grace and mercy, if you hear what He says that I am in Christ, it's a different matter. And this is the evaluation of faith. It's not what I am in myself. It's how God views me and sees me and thinks of me in Christ and what He says I am in His Word. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 17. There are hundreds of verses that we could go to, but this is the one that came to my mind first. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, not viewed in himself, not by his works, not what he's made himself to be in this world, but simply this, a positional thing. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So thankfully, by God's grace, if you talk about me, you can't talk about me without talking about how God put me in and sees me in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all His doing, as Paul continues to say here. He's the one who in Christ reconciled us unto Himself. And then he says in verse 21 of me, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I don't want anybody to talk about me without talking about how I am in Christ, made the righteousness of God in Christ. That is, he views me as a justified sinner. That is, he views me as one who he has declared righteous in Jesus Christ and sinless, because my sins were all imputed to Christ and he put them away, and righteous because he made the righteousness of God to be mine and imputed that to me. He counted or reckons me righteous. Same me. In him having life, eternal life, as the scripture says, Paul saying this also, having made us accepted in the beloved, sanctified in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, made of God in Christ wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything that's pleasing to God. Everything necessary to stand in his presence. Everything that's necessary to be accepted by him and gathered to him for all eternity in that great eternal inheritance that he has provided. And that's me as I am before God in Christ Jesus. And then thirdly, I thought about this. If you talk about me, you have to talk about me in my experience as a believer, regenerated by the Spirit of God, yet still in the flesh. And sometimes these me's seem so contradictory. Not like some say, me is not one who has two natures that are in a conflict with each other, like that good guy and bad guy, or that black dog and white dog type illustration, but simply this: one who is a sinner in the flesh, who is now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And not only in Romans 7, but Paul talks about this, he talks about experiencing that inward conflict that goes on between my flesh and the Holy Spirit. The only thing that is natural to us is that nature, that totally depraved nature that is never improved, that never gets better, and we can only pray that the Holy Spirit of God overpowers it. But there's always a conflict. That's me. Listen to Paul. Evidently it was him too. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, he says this: "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, would I do not, but the evil which I would do, would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's a conflict between what God has made us to believe and love and see by faith and what we are in this flesh still. And Paul describes me the best way that I think it could be in describing himself. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Not was before I was born again. Not like I was before I was saved. But, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. When Paul wrote over in the book of Galatians in chapter 5, speaking of this very thing, he said this. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Capital letter, Spirit. Holy Spirit. "And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." If you talk about me, you have to talk about one who is still in the flesh. And God tells us that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll always be flesh. And flesh is not improved. And that which is born of the Spirit, revealed to our minds, is Spirit. And it needs not ever be improved. It's Christ. And those things in Christ, the Spirit of God, is not only revealing Christ, but always in conflict with our flesh. Always in conflict with what we naturally want to believe, with what we naturally want to do, with what we naturally think is right. And then if I think about me or talk about me, I thank God that I have to think about God as He's promised me that I'll be. He's promised us as His people that we'll be. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And look at verse 2. John writing here to the little children born of God. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." When I think about me or talk about me, I have to talk about, thankfully, how He will make me to be, which is perfectly like the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity, without sin, without anything that defiles, is totally acceptable for heaven and eternity as I possibly could be. That's our hope and prospect. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 15, where we were. Paul, as he writes here, and talks about every believer, he reminds us of the glorious prospect and future. In verse 51, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I've been trying to change all my life. And I think I have, but I'm afraid it seems to be for the worse in this flesh. But he says, we'll be changed. All God's people will be changed. All the redeemed will be changed. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thankfully, when you talk about me, you have to talk about how I'll be according to God's word and promise. And all these four are one, and that's me. Could be thee. You see, by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, do I know myself to be all four of these. Do I know me? That's the only way we can know ourselves. Is to, if He enables us to believe what He says that we are. Because I'd rather talk about thee than me as far as what's wrong. And I'd rather talk about me in this flesh if I talk about what's good and right. That's just fallen nature. But by the grace of God, you see, as old Newton said in his hymn, it was grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace showed me what I became in Adam, a sinner. Grace showed me what I am by nature, enabled me to see it and enabled me to believe it. And grace showed me what I am in Christ. Christ crucified, and grace showed me this struggle that is in every believer and preserves me. And grace brings forth this hope and this prospect of what me will be. So I have to say, just like Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you're talking about me, all these me's are me. And they're all God's people. Every redeemed soul, every blood-bought child, every one of God's elect, every one of His regenerated people believing on Christ and experiencing life in this body until Christ comes and gives us our change. That's us. That's us. Let's talk about me. You know, only a work of God's Spirit can bring us to know all these things to be true and believe them. Only God's Spirit can make us honest in who we are in ourselves and believing what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank Him for it. Our Father, tonight it is in that precious blood of Christ, who is the righteousness of God, Christ crucified, that we're enabled to be honest and at the same time thankful. As we talk about ourselves in the light of gospel truth and knowledge and faith, we thank You that You have saved us with a glorious salvation. And we give to You all the glory. And thank You. We praise You And tonight we lift up once again these that are sick. Not only sick of body, but sick of soul. We pray for those of your people who are not yet brought out of their darkness, that you would bring them. We pray that you would revive the hearts of those, your people, who put everything before you. Take for granted the privilege of worship. We pray that you'd help us. Give us strength. But we pray in Christ's name. Amen.